You're listening to LawPod UK. It's a podcast that covers developments across all aspects of civil and public law in the United Kingdom. All the comments are current at the time of podcast publication. It's brought to you by the barristers at One Crown Office Row, and this edition is presented by Rosalind English.
Earlier this month, the First Minister for Wales, Mark Drakeford, announced that the proposed Newport bypass, an extension of the M4 that has been argued about since the 90s, would not go ahead. He said that the so-called black route, as proposed, was both environmentally destructive and financially unjustifiable. I'm here with Alistair Henderson, one of the barristers from One Crown Office Row, who represented objectors in the public inquiry last year. Dominic Ruck-Keane and Hannah Noyce of One Crown Office Row also acted in the inquiry. Mark Drakeford specifically congratulated the campaigners who urged the government to safeguard one of Wales's greatest treasures, the Gwent Levels. Alistair, this must come as a welcome surprise.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's fantastic for a couple of reasons. I think it's probably one of the biggest environmental success stories in terms of challenging a major infrastructure project on environmental grounds that there's been in the UK. But it's also a welcome surprise because after a lengthy and quite exhaustive public inquiry, the planning inspector, Mr. Wardrop, who I think sadly has now died, but he produced his report last year and he actually recommended that the black route should go ahead. So we had huge involvement. I was representing this group of objectors in the planning inquiry and we felt like we hadn't got anywhere. But actually, we did, I think, manage to significantly influence the key decision maker, which was the First Minister himself, and he's taken that decision, which is great.
And there's obviously been strong opposition to this decision. And I noticed that the report at the beginning quotes the general pro-motorway extension, saying that the M4 congestion was, quotes, a foot on the windpipe of the Welsh economy.
Yes, that's quite graphic, but it's... Well, to be honest, I don't think there's any real disagreement about the fact that the M4 in South Wales, and particularly around this part, going through Newport, is very congested and that is causing real problems. The traffic is very bad at times and it's been bad for some time. We had all sorts of data about that in the course of the inquiry. The real question, though, is what to do about it. And I think the fundamental disagreement between those who were pursuing this scheme and the Welsh Government who had been promoting it and a whole range of objectors, which included the environmental groups that we were acting for, but also, interestingly, quite a lot of small business owners and quite a lot of local people, was not to do with whether or not there's traffic problems, but whether or not this scheme was the way to deal with it. Basically, whether building a new motorway, a bigger and better motorway, was a sensible way to deal with the problem, or whether there were actually much better ways of dealing with it. The two proposals that were, the alternative proposals that were put, one was something called the Blue Route, which was a much less invasive form of change to the motorway layout. But the third option was to say, well, actually, we should be looking at much more sustainable transport. We should be looking at putting lots more investment into public transport, into encouraging cycling and walking, and much more sustainable ways of boosting the economy. And that argument, I think, has carried the day, which is great news.
Well, it seems to me and many people that the whole problem with the findings of the inspector was that the whole scheme would be carbon neutral by waiting until 2070. But that assumes that cars will be polluting then as they are now. And that's not the case because car usership will be changing.
That's absolutely right, exactly. It doesn't take into account some fairly obvious major technological changes that are already happening. So we know that cars are becoming significantly more efficient, even if they remain petrol or diesel. But more importantly, electric cars are now becoming the technology is increasing in its efficiency and availability, making strides and bounds in that. And that's before you even consider a sort of revolution might come in with autonomous cars and self-driving cars. And that was part of the case that we tried to make on behalf of the objectors. So the approach that the group that I was acting for, which was led by the Gwent Wildlife Trust, but also took into account an umbrella sort of different bodies, Cycling UK, Friends of the Earth, and various other organisations. The approach we took was not only to make the point about the environmental damage of this scheme, but also to challenge some of the assumptions that the Welsh government's case was being made on. And one of those key ones, as you say, is that this was going to be carbon neutral by 2070. And it was just based on really questionable assumptions and guesswork about the future, which were fairly obviously flawed. And we managed to get a whole panel of experts in climate change, in transport, in planning, in psychology even, and how people change their habits when it comes to transport, to comment on that and give quite persuasive evidence about it, which, although it didn't persuade the inspector, clearly had an impact on the overall campaign and lobbying of the First Minister.
Yes, so it's marvellous that, in a sense, the evidence that you called has reached out beyond the conclusion of the inquiry to the government. Alistair, do you think that this is a sign that environmental destruction need not always be accepted as an unfortunate byproduct of economic progress?
I really think it is, and I think this is something that's potentially quite an exciting precedent for anyone who wants to campaign for better sustainable development, is that if you set up a contest between environmental protection and economic progress, it's always going to be a difficult argument. You're always going to create two entrenched camps. You're also going to find it more difficult to persuade normal people, local people in a particular area that's going to be affected by a scheme, that it's in their interests. But it's not only wrong to do that for sort of tactical reasons if you're trying to make an environmental argument. I also think as a principle it's wrong. A lot of the things that would preserve the environment for the future and for future generations are also exactly the things that will create more wealth and more sustainable wealth in the future. So to take just one example, we got some great evidence from a professor of economics at Cardiff University, Calvin Jones, who has been studying the factors involved in the Welsh, South Wales economy for 25 years or something like that. And he made a very persuasive case that actually what the South Wales economy needs is things that really boost local growth of small businesses, that boost hubs, not just sucking everything into Cardiff or Bristol, but boost development of the economy in the smaller towns along the South Wales coast. And that the thing that will do that isn't building more motorways, it's going to be fostering people staying more close to where they do have their businesses or where they go to work through encouraging cycling and encouraging public transport and encouraging much more environmentally friendly forms of getting around. And I think that's exactly one of the big lessons from this, is that if you put the case that way and you don't set up this dichotomy between environmental concerns and economic growth.
And also there's the problem that of traffic inducement, that if you grow more motorways, as we've seen from the M25 and other motorways, you induce more traffic.
That's absolutely right. Yes, in fact, we had some fascinating evidence from that. One of the experts that I was sort of presented the evidence of was Professor Sir John Whiteleg, who is an expert in traffic planning and estimates. And he explained this problem very well. And I also cross-examined the Welsh Government expert, Brian Whitaker, who was trying to sort of suggest that the M4 plan was going to be different for various ways. And they had some basis for that, but it essentially had to distinguish the data from almost every other major bypass and major road scheme that's been built in the UK for the last 25 years or so, where what tends to happen is one builds a new bypass or extension to a road or even just a new motorway at all. There is an initial reduction in traffic because you simply have more capacity. But all that happens is you encourage more people to use their cars. Not only do more people start to, as general population grows and people move into an area and you start to get more cars anyway, but people are more likely to use their cars even for short journeys because there's a bigger road to use and initially the traffic is less bad. But of course, once you've done that, everyone gets used to using their cars, and over time you just end up in exactly the same position you were, where you've got a bigger road which is now chock full of traffic and you're back where you started. And that's just the pattern that's been followed again and again and again. And this was a great opportunity to break that pattern. The Welsh government initially were saying, no, we're going to, we think we've got a different proposal here. We can do it even with a new motorway. But I think having made the decision not to build the motorway extension, they now really have a chance to avoid that problem of more roads lead to more traffic and actually find other ways of getting people out of their cars and getting around in different ways.
Yes, I remember one of the points raised by the Welsh government or in the inspector in this report was that, yes, whilst There is evidence that car use has gone down for commuting and shopping, because of the internet, obviously, that in fact motorway use continues to rise, reflecting the population, because there are some uses of motorways by articulated lorries and so on that just can't go down. But it strikes me as a bit of an own goal, because you're just creating more traffic by making more motorways.
Precisely. And it makes it a bit of a circular argument. You say, well, we need more motorways. Why do we need more motorways? Because we've got more traffic. Why have we got more traffic? Well, because we keep building roads.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we were trying to cut through.
Also, the great thing about the final decision by the Welsh minister was that the environment plays a part in this decision, independently of money, so that if in future the money turned up for this motorway, it would still be turned down because of the environmental impact.
That's absolutely right. And I think that was one of the best surprises about Mark Drakeford's decision, actually, was I think having lost the fight in the planning inquiry, the objectors had thought, well, we've still potentially got a chance in lobbying against this purely on grounds of cost. The scheme was going to cost billions of pounds, and the Welsh Cabinet decided they simply weren't going to fund it anymore for sensible financial reasons, by the sounds of it. And they thought that that might well have been the reason. And even though the environmental argument's been made, the whole thing was going to turn on money. But as you say, Rosalind, the really exciting thing is that actually the First Minister has said, I can quote it actually, he doesn't need to consider whether the advantages of the project outweigh its disadvantages given their financial position. But he says, I went on to consider the advantages and disadvantages identified by the inspector and concluded that even if I had not reached the conclusion on finances, I would not have decided to make the scheme in orders. And the reason he gives is, I attach greater weight than the inspector did to the adverse impacts that the project would have had on the environment. In particular, I attach very significant weight, and that's important, very significant weight, you can't put it any stronger than that, to the fact that the project would have had a substantial adverse impact on the Gwent Levels SSSI's sites of special scientific interest, and their Rhine network and wildlife, and on other species, and a permanent adverse impact on the historic landscape of the Gwent Levels. And that's just fantastic, because that shows two things. As you say, firstly, even if the money becomes available, there's still an objection to this. But also, I think it just shows, as we've been discussing already, this is a bit of a shift from the environment always has to give way if there's a pressing economic need for something, to saying, well, actually, even if there's a good economic argument for something, it still might not be the right thing. Some things are of unquantifiable value, and the huge natural beauty and wildlife diversity in the Gwent Levels and their historic significance, because these wetlands have been there for hundreds of years and a lot of them are formed and can take their present form in the Middle Ages, is a really important factor, and money isn't everything. It's really exciting to see a decision by such a high-level government minister making that choice.
Indeed. So what happens now?
Well, it will be very interesting to see what the further effect is in Wales of this decision and then further afield. So looking at Wales first, I think one of the really interesting things about it is that this comes on the back of some very sort of forward-looking, I mean that in both literal and metaphorical sense, legislation produced by the Welsh Assembly over the last few years. So the Welsh Assembly had produced a piece of legislation called the Wellbeing of Future Generations Act 2015. Which set up a series of tests and aspirations to essentially try and see every decision, economic decision in Wales, an infrastructure decision, being made through the prism of sustainable development. So really putting a much higher premium and consideration on questions of environmental protection and preserving the natural resources of the country for future generations. And then the Environment Wales Act 2016 also has some very strong and ambitious targets for restoring the resilience of ecosystems and combating climate change. So we've all got very excited by the fact that the UK government now said we're going to reduce greenhouse gases by 100% by 2050. But Wales, 3 years earlier, had said we're going to try and reduce them by at least 80% by 2050. And so you've got that legislative backdrop. And what's exciting in Wales is that that seems to have made an impact on this big decision. This was the first big test case, as it were, for whether that legislation would make a difference, and it seems to have. So the big challenge for the Welsh Government is not just that that makes the difference to a decision like this not to do something, but that it spurs them to say, right, well, what are we going to do? And that there is real consideration now given to the things we've already mentioned, really improving public transport in South Wales, really encouraging people to work and live in a closer environment, really putting more resource and investment into some of these communities that are being ignored. So that's the sort of Welsh context. But I think wider than that, this decision really does set an interesting precedent for the rest of the UK. So there are quite a lot of other major road projects that are being considered around the UK at the moment. There's one just up the road in Bristol at the moment. And there, the financial position is not quite the same because the Central Westminster Government and Department of Transport is more likely to step in and fund that. So there's not the same financial pressure. But what this decision does is say, well, even if finances isn't quite so much of an issue as it was for the M4 scheme, here's an example of how environmental considerations and looking to the future in terms of making development sustainable should lead to different decisions. It shouldn't be the same old approach of, well, we've got a problem on the traffic of this road, let's just build a new one. So it'll be really interesting to see whether that this has a knock-on effect on some of these other big infrastructure decisions that are coming.
Well, thank you so much, Alistair, for taking us through this interesting and important story. All the legislation that Alistair refers to will be set out in the related post to this podcast on the UK Human Rights blog. So thank you very much, Alistair, for coming on the podcast.
Pleasure. Thank you.
LawPod UK is presented by Rosalind English and is produced by One Crown Office Row. For more editions of LawPod UK, you can subscribe to the podcast and recommend us to a friend.